Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks again for joining us this week at CCEF. My name is Andrew Ray, media producer here, and we are in Studio B in the beautiful offices of CCEF in Glenside, Pennsylvania, joined by
Ed Welch
and Tim Lane.
And this week we got an article from the Christian Science Monitor about Americans being sleepier than Europeans. And the reason I am interested in this article is it does say that excessive sleepiness is more common in the United States than Europe. But I'm wondering, sometimes you come in, you see someone, you minister them at your church, maybe you have them over for dinner, maybe it's a professional counseling time, and you're saying to yourself, based on the things you're struggling with, we all need to move to know Christ more, to trust Him more, but it looks like you need to sleep, plain and simple, or it looks like you need to eat better, or, I mean, how often do these physiological issues mix in your head when you see someone? Because, of course, we're in this culture that says it's either your body or it's the way you were brought up or your circumstances, right? It's not before God. How do you personally kind of view that? What's your narrative on the physiological
Andrew, can I speak first on this? Because I want to speak really quickly and get it out of the way. Then Tim can give the definitive response, because I'm going to say something that is shoddy on this one. By the way, I live with a woman who she must be an American rather than European, because, one of the times we pray is before we go to bed. And I would say 8 times out of 10, she never hears me say amen. So she's definitely pretty sleepy. And she has a reason to be sleepy because she's really busy. And you hear about Europeans have more vacation time, when Americans have vacation time. Well, when I have vacation time, my boss, Tim Lane, he makes me write and do all these other things. I'm always working, it seems. I don't talk about sleep very much. I can't remember the last time I spoke with somebody about sleep. That doesn't mean I'm completely ignorant of it, but I do think that our bodies are, they if we have to have sleep, somebody will be sleeping. I think our bodies can stretch a little bit more. So a little bit more than when we realize. So I don't talk about sleep. I can't remember the last time I spoke with somebody about sleep. I tend to think if they're really tired, they're going to sleep. So hate to sound simplistic. Bodies are wasting away, and sometimes we get really tired. There are times where I sleep perhaps a little less than I should. And I guess the way I think about that biblically is sometimes they're really important things. Okay, they're late phone calls. They're times to pray and to be a bit exhausted every once in a while. I don't think that's necessarily unhealthy or unbiblical. Mm. So,
yeah, Ed's not one to back off when it comes to working hard. So I can understand why he's saying what he's saying, and there's a lot of wisdom in that. On the flip side, though, I mean, when people come to CCF for counseling, some of the questions on the data intake form are those questions. Are you sleeping? How many hours of sleep are you getting? Do you find them to be sufficient? Are you resting? Have there been any changes recently? Those kinds of things. So, it's on your radar, But it's not gonna rise to the level of this is the most important thing that I want to address as I'm relating to this person. But are there physiological changes? You're wanting to take that into account. Mm-hmm. So that seems fairly straightforward. I don't think biblical counseling minimizes those things. I've never experienced that. I mean, that's certainly not, what we do here at CCF. It's cultural, historical. I mean, I don't know what other human beings on the face of the planet over the course of the human race have done, but I would imagine we Americans live fairly comfortable lives in comparison to, the rest of humanity over the course of human history.
Yes.
On one hand, we have electricity that can keep us up at night reading.
That's true.
But we're not doing incredibly difficult manual labor every single day.
And sleeping on hard floors.
Tim, I think one of the things you're doing, though, is you're trying to balance at least me a little bit, where I'm saying, whatever, you know, don't get a good night's sleep, big deal. And that is a little bit of my theology on this. And part of it is that I think the body is just very, it's very adaptable, and it can go with little sleep. And it doesn't necessarily have these dramatic implications on who we are and our moods and our intellect. So the body's just, it's able to go through warfare times with not a whole lot of sleep, and it seems to do okay. But I think what you're saying is, you know, we are holistic beings, we're embodied souls, and we want to keep track of both. I do find myself, and this is a little risky, but I guess I prioritize them. And it sounds like I'm saying a little bit, whatever, you know, we don't sleep very well. I want to prioritize, am I growing in Christ? those questions having a little bit more weight than sleep. And if I'm thinking about my sleep and my diet in such a way that it just in my natural conversation, it overwhelms just my conversation about who is the Lord and how am I growing in Him, that's when I get a little bit concerned. Yeah. So I tend to think it's a 1-2 rather than it's a both together.
Yeah, I mean, Ed's background is neuropsychology, so he's not in any way minimizing the physiological. And that was the question I was trying to think. You know, if I've been in pastoral counseling context where this has risen to the level of importance, I'm trying to think, and I start to lean back in Ed's direction. It's minimal at best. You know, the number of times that I've said, this is a real issue, we've got to address this. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, what would you be looking for if you're working with an individual? What are you looking for that would cause you to say the sleep issue is rising to the level of concern? And you're saying if they're so distracted, mm-hmm, physiologically,
it's intellectually really affecting them. Most of the sleep research where you get really strange phenomena as a result of sleep deprivation, it actually has been sleep deprivation. Mm-hmm. A person has been intentionally kept awake, and that's not normal life. They're just, things are being done to them to force them to stay awake. And in those cases, obviously, it can be difficult, mm-hmm, but overall, if we're not being forced to stay awake, the body tends to do what it needs to do for the body.
So. Yeah, and I heard you mention 2 Corinthians 4, and I'm thinking 16 through 18. Outwardly we waste away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweigh them all. So, so here we are, we're having struggles, and they are struggles, they're mentioned, but having eternity in view can help us. I think even as we walk through a myriad of physiological issues, and we are wasting away, as Tim Lane likes to say, we're all going to die.
We are.
I feel it every day. You're really thinking in the category of suffering. There's a physiological breakdown of the body. Think of other forms of physiological breakdown. Someone's dealing with, some other problem. There's constant pain. How much do you put that on the table and say, this is of utmost concern? You probably put it in a broader context and say, there's compassion and there's real empathy for someone who's struggling in some kind of physiological way. But you never say, that lets you off the hook at some level in terms of growing in grace. This question of sleep is probably, falls within that same category. I have a family member whom I won't name that, is up at 3 in the morning or 4 in the morning and
this person is very resilient in terms of getting a lot done, taking care of a lot of kids, doing a lot of work. It's not ideal, and it impacts this person's ability to function at times. But I mean, if I went on that kind of sleep pattern, it might affect me more. You know, and everybody's different mm-hmm. in terms of what they can handle. Mm-hmm. When I think about technology, I don't necessarily immediately go to issues or questions or concerns about staying up too late, you know, because we're always wired. My mind moves more towards how does technology affect the way we're doing relationship? Mm-hmm. You know, I was messing around with my iPad last night, and my wife and I, Barbara, were sitting upstairs. Two of our four kids came to the room, had an extensive conversation with the both of us. I remembered nothing. And they were about details of their lives that were going to be happening today and tomorrow. Mm. And I was totally zoned out. You know, that's what I need to be thinking about. Not is this device keeping me up too late and I'm not getting enough sleep, but how is this device either aiding or hindering my ability to love people around me well. Mm. There was something on TV this morning, and they were interviewing some moms who are working, and they talk about how they're always connected through their BlackBerry. And one of the hosts of the TV show, two of them actually said they have seen mothers with their BlackBerries doing work while they're strolling their kids through New York City, almost walk into traffic because they're so connected to their work. You know, and it could be something other than work, but that device is hindering their ability to stroll their kid in a way that's safe.
And thanks so much, Tim. That's exactly what we're going to talk about next week. Appreciate you guys coming in. Thanks for being with us.
Good. Yeah, it's time for my siesta.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.